Our next case is David Kennedy versus Kijakazi, case number 22-35866. And we'll wait for counsel to approach the table before beginning. You may begin, Mr. Yanich.
May it please the court. My name is Eitan Yanich. I'm representing Larry Kennedy in this appeal. Kennedy has been unable to work since he was in an accident when he was driving as a FedEx driver in 2015. And
Mr. Yanich, let me stop you. We don't have a lot of time, but I do have a question.
Please.
With regards to Dr. Pickett, when was it that you first found out that, or you became aware about the report submitted in the other case? And two, were you made aware of the other case before, which was decided by the ALJ or the court? When was it that you brought that issue up, if at any point, to the district court?
Aware of it in 2021. It was after the case had been filed in district court. And there's a problem in Social Security. There's a Social Security ruling that actually says that you're not allowed, I'm not going to give you the number on it, but it says that you can't bring in evidence of other cases into your case. And the reason for that ruling, or the motivation for the ruling, as near as we can tell, is about 5 or 6 years ago, I might be wrong on that, there was a series of complaints about Dr. Pickett, interestingly. And so in one case where Dr. Pickett had said all sorts of bad things, but nothing provably false, just a bunch of, you know, basically dismissing the person as being a liar, a malingerer. That's the general rule, is every one of her, she had many evaluations that accused people of malingering. And they submitted, I believe it was about 50 evaluations, 50 cases where there were similar reports from Dr. Pickett. And in that case, the court, it was district court, the district court said, well, you get a new remand, but I'm not going to, they didn't want to touch the overall thing. And as a result of that attempt to prove what was going on in other cases, there's a ruling that says you can't bring in evidence from other cases.
Are they still using Dr. Pickett?
Pardon me?
Are they still using Dr. Pickett?
I don't know, because there's a time lag between them using a doctor and with my seeing, I haven't seen a case with Dr. Pickett recently, so I don't know.
Then you haven't seen you then haven't seen the cases in 2022 and 2023 and 2022 in July where Dr. Pickett had come out both ways for applicants?
You know, but those cases you're discussing, when were the ALJ decisions?
Well, all I know is
that there was a case.
All I know is that Washington, the Western District of Washington, had one with him in November 2022. The Western District of Washington had another one in July 2023, and another one in July of 2022, and another September 2020, where Dr. Pickett was making his was making her observations and her opinions, and she came out both ways. She came out one time, she'd come out for the petitioner, and other times for not the petitioner. And my question was going to be, Dr. Pickett's evaluation and observations were also consistent with other evidence in the record, and she doesn't always come out the same way, which is obvious from me looking at these other decisions. I don't know why you held your tongue. I also don't understand why the district judge couldn't rely on Dr. Pickett.
Okay. Well, I'm not objecting to their reliance on it in the sense of, I mean, when I read this file, when I reviewed this file for court review, I was, obviously, anyone who would read this file would be concerned. Some of the things that Dr. Pickett says are so outrageous that you would not think that a psychologist who's licensed and who is basically a trusted member of the professional community would make anything up. She said that he couldn't even remember how many days of the week there were. When I saw that, I thought, either he's got some really crazily serious mental illness, or he is just fabricating stuff. I was troubled by it, and so I didn't really know what to do with that.
I guess I want to interrupt you just a little bit.
Yes,
because your argument here is that Dr. Pickett lied or made an alleged false report, and you cited the situation where you said it happened. Then I went to the case, and it doesn't say Dr. Pickett lied or committed fraud in the other case. All it says is the ALJ said the doctor made a mistake. That's an FER 21.
Right, and that is why I provided her report with analysis of how it was not a mistake. And if you follow
all you're trying to do is suggest that your argument should do more than what the ALJ found, and that the district court should then rely on your argument to disregard Dr. Pickett's testimony. That seems to be your argument.
Not exactly. What I'm arguing is that the ALJ, at the time of the ALJ hearing, the ALJ did not know that Dr. Pickett had lied in another case.
There's nothing says he lied. He made a mistake.
Okay. She did not make a mistake. She fabricated numerous statements in her evaluation.
Well,
and that's a problem.
Hold on. I do want to go to it, because I think there might be a confusion in terms of what the doctor said. I think she said the following. She said that she was able to go and in a recent post of this particular individual see him playing drums, and there were short videos of him playing those drums, which involved him seated in with arms and hands and his shoulders in constant motion. And yet it was a different person. That was not the same person that she evaluated. So I could see why you would say that she fabricated that, because she's testifying in this document that she's seeing him move his torso around. And I watched the video of the man who was doing that. You clearly can see his face, yet somehow she was mistaken about that fact. So I could see your frustration with believing that she fabricated that, even though, of course, that is what the district court found, that she was ultimately mistaken.
Well, I did not raise this in the district court. That's bad. I'm following the Social Security ruling that says I couldn't bring in evidence from another case. When I lost in district court on the merits of the physical problems, which I view this as a physical problem case, I realized I can't stay silent on this. This woman lied, and yet nobody knows.
Let me change your argument, because I think we've heard your argument here. But it seems to me that one of your other ideas is that the ALJ erred by discrediting parts of your client's testimony without providing specific, clear, and convincing reasons to do so. Now, what you're saying is, as I understand it, the ALJ had to make a specific finding that your client engaged in malingering. That's not our case law.
You know,
did you read Carmichael? We had both sides of the card on Carmichael, and Carmichael said you don't have to make clear and convincing reasons for rejecting the plaintiff's testimony. You don't have to make a specific finding. All you've got to find is that there's some evidence, or you think there's some malingering. You don't have to make a specific finding, and therefore you don't have to make clear and convincing reasons. I don't know where you are with that idea.
I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm arguing that the malingering finding was based in part on a report from an admitted liar. It's like George Santos is the star witness of the government.
I'm glad that that's what you're arguing, because if that's what you're saying, that they don't have to make a specific finding, then you go along with Carmichael, and you go along with footnote 9 in Gannon versus Colvin. There's no specific finding of malingering needed. All there has to be is some evidence of it, and that's it. And then you don't have to make the clear and specific findings.
But if the main evidence of malingering is a report from an admitted liar, you've got a problem. The government is a problem here, and they're just pushing it under the rug. And Judge Mendoza, what I wanted to just address is that the issue wasn't just that she made this mistake about thinking that this guy who was playing the drums was the client she had just interviewed. She wrote in her report that he told me that he plays the drums and he posted videos himself on the internet. That is a bald-faced lie. And if she lied about that, there was no reason why she would do that. If she lied about that, how can we trust anything that she says? There's a difference between a psychologist's clinical observations and a psychologist's reports. And if a psychologist's reports are not identical to their clinical observations, if they're not reporting what they actually observed, everything is down the toilet. There's nothing. There's no, you know, we're relying on the honesty of the people.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
I'm
not sure why you're saying that the malingering finding or evidence is primarily Dr. Pickett, because it's repeated by multiple medical providers. Dr. Lloyd brings it up in the Dr. Cooper in reference to Dr. Lloyd. There are a number of people that mention the possibility of potential for malingering because neurological exams don't accord with the claimant's testimony. Why do you say that this is primarily Dr. Pickett's?
Well, let me just address that then. As far as the other evidence of it, which is from labor and industries doctors initially, there was a second car accident in this case, and the most recent evidence in the file includes evidence from a neurosurgeon who says he needs surgery. So even if one were to assume that there was a lack of neurological findings early on to support the level of impairment he was describing, and brain injuries are a funny thing because if he hit his head, and he described hitting his head in the accident, but later on, the most recent evidence shows that the neurological findings are confirmed. Dr. Faria, there were two doctors that Social Security paid to evaluate him. Dr. Faria did the physical evaluation, and he noted lots of mental problems in addition to lots of physical objective findings. Was he telling the truth? Presumably, he was. Was Dr. Pickett telling the truth? Presumably, she was. Unfortunately, she lied in another case. Can we presume that she was telling the truth here? And I think that that's something that should be sorted out by the Social Security Administration, not by this court. But I think the fact that she lied in the other case undermines the ALJ's assessment, which was based at least in part on the outrageous, almost unbelievable lies. I can't prove they were lies. The statements by Dr. Pickett that this man didn't even know how many days there were in a week, and she didn't have him fill out that form till after the evaluation. How does that even make sense? But we accept this because why did the psychologist lie? Why did she lie in the other case? Did she lie here? You can't tell me she didn't. I can't tell you she didn't. Nobody can prove she didn't, but I can prove she lied in the other case.
Did you want to leave any time for
further, right, unless you have questions?
He's over.
Oh, okay. Then we'll hear from opposing counsel.
Good morning. Catherine Watson for the commissioner. So starting with Dr. Pickett, I note this issue is not raised in district court. The evidence presented is outside the record. As was pointed out, the ALJ in that case concluded that Dr. Pickett had made, quote, a mistake. There are only extraordinary circumstances by which this court would even consider this evidence.
Why wouldn't we consider this to be an extraordinary case when, according to the information that we have, Dr. Pickett said that he, meaning the petitioner, told me that he was a drummer, that she then wrote in the report that he, that she observed him twisting and turning in the seat, and that the ALJ can characterize that as a mistake. I think that's a very generous characterization. So why not just let the ALJ determine whether or not it was proper for at least her to consider the ALJ to consider Dr. Pickett's report? I mean, that's all we would be asking her to do, right?
Your Honor, it's not an extraordinary circumstance because the issue is not dispositive in this case. The ALJ mentioned Dr. Pickett's evaluation at one point in the decision. That's on CAR 18. The only time it's mentioned is when the ALJ was determining whether Kennedy had a severe cognitive impairment. Even if this court finds we're not going to consider Dr. Pickett's evaluation, we'll just strike that, the ALJ still identified ample evidence, more than the substantial evidence standard, to conclude that Kennedy did not have a severe cognitive impairment lasting 12 months or longer. The ALJ noted that in early 2016, Kennedy had moderate cognitive deficits, but by May 2016, Dr. Lloyd evaluated Kennedy. And I note also that brain imaging was normal, which the ALJ discussed. And Dr. Lloyd concluded that there was no plausible neurologically based cause for the cognitive deficits alleged. He also noted that the possibility of a malingered cognitive impairment should be considered. And that evidence alone constitutes substantial evidence to affirm the ALJ's Step 2 finding.
Counsel, what about opposing counsel's argument that later doctor reviews suggest that there could have been something from a later accident?
There was an accident in 2018. I would note that the recommendation for surgery was not the final medical evidence in the record. After a doctor recommended surgery, Kennedy went for an independent medical examination. Those doctors found again that his allegations were out of proportion to the objective evidence. Dr. Faria examined Kennedy in early 2020. And I would note that the ALJ accounted for this later evidence in his RFC, which was very restrictive. The ALJ accounted for the fact that later on, for example, there was notations of unsteadiness. The ALJ found in the RFC that every 30 minutes, Kennedy could change positions. So the ALJ did account for any later evidence of worsening. But Dr. Faria, in his examination, in his opinion, the ALJ accepted almost every limitation opined by Dr. Faria. The only limitation that the ALJ found unpersuasive was Dr. Faria's conclusion that Kennedy could only lift up to 10 pounds. And the ALJ again provided valid reasons to find that limitation unpersuasive. The ALJ noted physical examinations, including Dr. Faria's own physical examination, which showed intact strength. The ALJ noted an EMG from 2019, which showed normal findings in the bilateral upper extremities. And the ALJ also again discussed multiple providers who found that the objective evidence was out of proportion to Kennedy's subjective complaints. As this court has noted, the standard is simply affirmative evidence suggesting malingering. That standard was met here, simply by Dr. Lloyd's evaluation, as noted, and also by Dr. Cooper, who deferred to Dr. Lloyd. But even beyond that, the ALJ discussed lack of effort, including in Dr. Lloyd's evaluation. There was the level of engagement, concerns over the level of engagement. There was another examination where another doctor noted lack of effort on a strength examination. The ALJ also noted, CAR 20, that one doctor noted concerns over secondary gain motives. So I think the bottom line, even just beyond malingering, is that multiple doctors concluded that Kennedy was not credible. And the ALJ is allowed to rely on the conclusions of doctors over Kennedy's testimony, and that is what the ALJ did here.
Are you still using Dr. Pickett?
As far as I know, yes, but I cannot say that conclusively. The last time we checked was when I submitted briefing, and what we were asking was simply the status of any sort of investigation. I'm not aware of a formal investigation, but again, I can't say that conclusively.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
No other questions?
No questions.
Great. Thank you. Respectfully, I ask this court to affirm.
Thank you. Mr. Yanage, we'll give you 1 minute for rebuttal to wrap up.
Thank you. Let me just say, if I paid a psychologist to write a report in one of my cases, and Social Security later discovered and proved that my psychologist filed a false report in another case, I can assure you they would be screaming bloody murder about anything from that psychologist is invalid. But doesn't work both that way. When Social Security's paid, hired gun, essentially, the psychologist they paid lied in another case. That doesn't seem to impress Social Security at all. With regard to Dr. Faria found, and this is a very significant finding, that Mr. Kennedy's impairment involved his neck, and Dr. Faria found that he had only 20 kilograms of grip strength bilaterally, limited neck range of motion, unstable lumbar range of motion, positive Romberg test, so he couldn't balance on one leg, inability to squat down on the floor. He had unsteady heel walking, toe walking, and tandem walking. These were a lot of findings, but the important one, I think, in all of that is that limited grip strength is not something that was accounted for by the ALJ. The ALJ didn't say why she didn't account for that. I don't think she understood the significance of that, how your neck could affect your grip strength in your hands, and if it does, it would affect your ability to lift. I do ask the court to remand this case for a new hearing, and at the new hearing, the judge should have to consider the evidence that Dr. Pickett lied in another case and consider whether or not her evaluation and anything that relied on her evaluation should be struck from the record.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, counsel, for both your arguments. The matter will be submitted and court is adjourned.